exposing the violent underworld.
Violence and intimidation is why they survive.
Of organized crime across the globe.
A ruthless gangster who craves celebrity.
Who stabbed the guy in the eye with a fork.
This is Curtis Sliwa's Mob Talk.
This is my favorite segment. It's about the geriatric espresso sipping psychotic killers of organized crime, better known as the mobsters choking on their lobsters. These are guys who are members of the Bonanno crime family, the Colombo Lucchese. They're Genovese, they're Gambinos, or maybe they're from all across the Hudson River in New Jersey, the DeCavalcantes. But whether they are wise guys or whether they are no guys, just mutts and skells who were brought up in the correctional facilities, one thing they can all agree on, the food sucks. Because oftentimes, no matter who they are, and it's not a scene out of Goodfellas, they all get the prison-issued miracle loaf.
Sheriff in Westchester County a few years back, after he laid off his kitchen staff, figured out that he had his inmates make what he called a miracle loaf that contained everything that's required in a daily diet, and each prisoner got that one loaf a day. So there's ways around the standards.
Oh, there's no doubt about it, but the miracle loaf, you'd want to flush it down the toilet. It was horrible, absolutely horrible. But a sheriff weighs in on that and says, hey, you're going to go to lockup, you're going to get bad food.
Quite frankly, if the issue is the taste of this food, my recommendation for you is don't commit crimes and come to jail.
That's a good recommendation, because you ain't there for the food, three squares a day. That's right, and sometimes you get two breakfasts. That's right, two breakfasts. That's right, extra pancakes, extra those whipped up artificial eggs. Oh, it's horrible. Even the inmates will tell you straight up, the food sucks.
Prison food, horrible, all the way around the board. And, you know, even on the holidays, when you think it tastes good, when you look around to, you know, as far as where you're eating at, it's not a good feeling.
Now, what do you think? You want to get turkey, giblets, and gravy, you know, the way mommy used to make it? But thinking of all of those folks, whether you're in preparation making the food, the miracle loaf, that is time and time again the main culinary delight served up in prisons across America. I mean, we're talking local jails, we're talking county jails, we're talking state correctional facilities, and we're talking federal lockups. Or if it's the sheriffs or the COs or the screws telling you, don't come to jail because the food sucks, and the inmates in a chorus telling you likewise, it was only a matter of time before the schemers tried to figure out a way to get out of jail by complaining about the food. And although they've tried before, they finally broke through to the other side. And it came to a guy whose nickname is Porky. Now, who's Porky? Porky is a family capo of the Bonanno crime family. At one time, he served as the consigliere to hello, gorgeous Vinny Bassiano, who had the hairstyling place right there in the neck, in Throg's neck. And he was his wartime consigliere, John Porky Zanacuccio. But John Porky Zanacuccio's claim to fame was he was the number all-time bookie for Pete Rose. When Pete Rose was at his worst in terms of betting on Major League Baseball games, including the team that he managed, the Cincinnati Reds, and the teams that he played for, the Cincinnati Reds and the Philadelphia Phillies. I mean, this guy was a degenerate gambler. Should be in the Hall of Fame, according to me, but the guy was out of control when it came to gambling. So that's how John Porky Zanacuccio came to infamy. Meantime, though, he's been out there and he's been offering all kinds of loans. That's right. If you're a degenerate gambler, you know, you like to play the ponies, you like to play sports gambling and also do simulcast, he'd be more than happy to give you points. But if you couldn't pay the VIG, the interest, in no time at all, he would send the goons of the Bonanno crime family to stuff your leg in your pocket, give you an attitudinal adjustment, and then all of a sudden introduce your forehead to the curb. That was his method of collection. But through his mob attorney, that's right, his liar for hire, John Maringolo. Who's John Maringolo? He first made his bones as one of the many legal liars for hire for John Gotti Jr., who skated on four separate federal indictments. But John Maringolo whipped this one up because his inmate Porky was housed in Manhattan's Metropolitan Correctional Center, which was right in the bowels of the federal courthouse down on Pearl Street near Foley Square. He said before the judge, "My client is suffering from inadequate dietary supplementation." That's right. If you want the acronym, it's IDS, inadequate dietary supplementation. And the federal judge was all ears. And this all came about because Porky had put up a $1 million bail package while awaiting the charges on racketeering. And he was on home incarceration. You know, he was wearing the Fortunoff's ankle bracelet to monitor his comings and goings. And he claimed that his auntie had dropped dead of a heart attack. So he had to go to a wake at the funeral parlor in Staten Island and the burial the very next day. But in the interim, he was frog jumping from place to place. In fact, he went from the wake all of a sudden to Bella Mama Rose, the Staten Island restaurant that he owns, along with Frankie Camuso, a capo in the Gambino organized crime family. Then he went to another restaurant to meet with the wise guys. After the burial the very next day, he ended up going to a nearby bakery that he is the silent owner of, and all of a sudden he was telling his guys, forget the guns, leave the cannolis, and he was stuffing himself with all of this food. In the two-day soiree, he had spaghetti and meatballs, fettuccine alfredo, chicken parm, garlic bread, mozzarella sticks, and actually cannolis. And then all of a sudden his attorney, John Maringolo, says, hey, my client, oh, he's suffering here. He's got chronic diabetes. He's been suffering from numbness in his legs. He has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and it's all because of the food in the stir. And the federal judge miraculously bought that line lock, stock, and barrel. So he ordered the FBI, FBI standing for Forever Busting Italians, to release Porky and put him in on home incarceration to await his trial. So Porky is processed for release, and the Bonanno crime family is waiting outside. What do you think the first thing Porky did? You think he went nearby to Little Italy? You think he had the spaghetti and meatballs? You think he had the chicken parm? No. He stops at the Dirty Water hot dog stand run by Hakeem right outside of Pearl Street. And he orders a Dirty Water hot dog with everything on it. I mean, he's got the onions, he's got the mustard, he's got the sauerkraut. It's a $2 dog, and he gives Hakeem $20 and tells him keep the change. And a New York Post reporter walks up to him and says, hey, Porky, I thought you said you were suffering from poor health. You eat that Dirty Water hot dog, that's going to kill your high blood pressure and cholesterol. He goes, it's marvelous. It's magnificent. It's like he gave the bird to the federal judge who was hopelessly naive. Now, this had been tried before. In fact, the precursor to it was by the head of the Colombo crime family, Tommy Schatz Gioli. Tommy Schatz is best known during the battles of the Colombo crime family, Persico versus Arena factions, when they were hustling and fighting over the proceeds from the biggest triple X pornographic movie of all time, Deep Throat. That's right, the Colombo crime family had all the interest in it. So here's Tommy Schatz Gioli running down the street, and he's chasing other Colombo crime guys. He chases them into a house. The door opens up. And it's a nun. And he takes that Winchester sawed-off shotgun and he shoots and he dies. Tommy Schatz Gioli, for that alone, is going to go straight to hell without an asbestos suit. But recently, the feds, they tried him on 5 gangland murders and others that he was responsible for ordering. So what was his defense? He goes, I'm too sick to go on trial. He tried the Porky defense. It didn't work there. But you see, the Bonanno crime family and John Maringolo were able to study Tommy Schatz Gioli's defense and work out the kinks. This is what Tommy Schatz Gioli said about the food that he was forced to stuff down his fat throat. The fat fella stuffed his face each and every day from commissary privilege with chips, Velveeta, Spam, donuts, candy bars, and other trash that he bought on a regular basis. The Brooklyn federal prosecutors revealed his shopping list after they got sick of dealing with his constant yenta complaints about his health. My heart, my head, my knee, my hip, the whole nine yards. Gioli said, hey, I suffer from diabetes and a serious heart condition that is only made worse by the lousy food and the lousy health care here in the federal lockup. So the feds were on to Tommy Schatz Gioli. They followed him for a full week. And he scooped up in the commissary Cajun hot snacks, donut sticks, 6 Hershey bars with almonds, honey nut scooters, Pringles, sour cream and onion chips, Ritz crackers, a Snickers bar, 3 pouches of Spam lunch meat. That in and of itself will kill you. 6 packets of tuna and sauce, 5 turkey and Swiss sticks, and 6 packages of Velveeta macaroni and cheese. 2 weeks later, he buys 10 more Hershey bars, donut sticks, Pringles, barbecue and sour cream and onion chips, peanut butter, wafers, oatmeal cakes and cream, Vietnamese chili sauce, mayonnaise, and 5 more mac and cheeses. I'm surprised he wasn't room temperature at that point. And then he goes before the federal judge and he goes, my heart, so like Red Fox, my heart, I'm coming to you, I'm coming to you, I'm going to die any second. Thank God the federal judge in the Eastern District in downtown Brooklyn didn't get bamboozled that time by Tommy Schatz Scioli. Tommy, it's like doing triple life without parole. But he set the precedent. He paved the way for Porky, the consigliere and capo of the Bonanno crime family, to get sprung on the unhealthy diet defense, which, you know, every mutt, every skell, every member of organized crime, whether it's MS-13, Trinitaros, Bloods, Crips, Latin Kings, are going to follow likewise in his footsteps. And all of a sudden, they're going to be released on their own recognizance because the food sucks in jail.